I'm Danny Brady.
Live and local every morning, you're listening to Paul Miller on WPHM.
Cloudy skies out there, likely to see some showers and thunderstorms today. Cooler day, too. We'll detail the weather forecast coming up in just a few minutes. Our next guest is a New York Times best-selling author and entrepreneur, and she has anxiety. She's Australian. Sarah Wilson has written a book about her experience with anxiety. And the title is an interesting one because it comes from an interesting philosophy. The book by Sarah Wilson is called First We Make the Beast Beautiful. Sarah, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. It's lovely to be here.
What does the title mean? Tell us a little bit about that as a starting point.
Yeah, it comes from a Chinese proverb and, in fact, relates to this idea of mental health being something that we can recast. So instead of seeing anxiety as something that we've got to medicate into submission, or we've got to manage it so that it can disappear and we can get on with the rest of our lives, which is the way in my lifetime it's been dealt with, instead we see it as something that has a purpose, a beauty about it, and that we can use in a way that can make our lives better. And that's sort of what my book explores. Every book I know on anxiety, and they all have their value, but they've all been about kind of managing anxiety so that you can live with anxiety. And what I try to do is show how you can actually thrive with it by understanding it in a slightly different way. And I go back through sort of evolutionary biology and why it is that we have this part of our brain that does this kind of weird freak out, you know, when we least want it. I speak to His Holiness the Dalai Lama. I speak to Oprah Winfrey's life coach. I traveled the world for 7 years with one suitcase, living as a nomad, investigating all of this and really trying to get to the bottom of it. And, you know, I've written this book that explores all of it, and I hope it comes out the other end with a more positive take, which I've found has helped me with my life. It's been a big turning point for me and hopefully for many other people who will read the book.
Was it difficult as a person with anxiety to live with one suitcase traveling the world as a nomad for 7 years?
Well, you know, I explore this in the book, how there's a lot of ironies about anxiety. And I've just been on the Today Show with Carson Daly, and he's recently come out saying that he's got, you know, he has terrible panic attacks. And people would look like at someone like him and go, how on earth can you be on live TV every morning and, you know, perform like you do and have anxiety? And that's one of the ironies, right, that anxiety can send you in one direction or the other. So for me, I can go off and land in any country in the world. I can create a sort of a homely environment wherever I am. And that to me is not scary. It enables me to have a certain amount of freedom so I can explore and be creative, which of course is what my anxiety allows, you know, in my being. So I actually find that not scary. It's the everyday stuff. And I kid you not, it's like having to choose a type of toothpaste in the supermarket that can be my undoing. I kid you not. It's stuff like that seems really strange, but that's what can make me really anxious, is making decisions. So, yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? And a lot of anxious people relate to this. There's so many kind of paradoxes, you know. We feel very alone and we often isolate ourselves when we're super anxious, and yet we desperately need people around us at the same time. You know, there's a whole range of things that are really hard to understand, and I explore them in my book and try to make people feel a little bit more comfortable about having these so-called oddities and instead see them as actually beautiful things that make sense if we look at it differently.
Are there more people in the world with anxiety today than ever before, or are we just hearing more about it?
That's such a good question. This is my theory on it, and I've run it past a bunch of experts, and they agree as well. I mean, it's a really hard thing to monitor, but what I believe, I think there's two types of anxiety. I think there's the very extreme anxiety, like the disordered anxiety, bipolar, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and so on, social phobia. Then we have what I think is called what I call everyday or fair enough anxiety, anxiety that exists for a fair enough reason. There's a trigger. And I think today we have more triggers that are making us anxious. So we are actually living in a way that emulates the anxious experience. So our brains are sort of experiencing the way that we toggle between things, we run between activities, we are on 24/7. We used to have a day of rest not so long ago, and for a very good reason. Our ancestors knew that we need to shut down and ensure that we can just kind of relax and not be on all the time. We have practices that mean that we're not getting as much sleep as we need. All of these things are triggering a response in our old gnarly brain that says something's not right. We are in crisis. And what it's doing is it's creating a response in our bodies, which is no different to our bodies thinking that we're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, right? You know, we have to be on high alert. So the oxygen goes from our brain into our limbs so that we're ready to run. We get stomach problems because we need to get rid of the blood supply in our guts so that we can run faster and fight or whatever it might be. So all of these symptoms emulate the anxious experience. And yes, we are becoming more anxious because of our lifestyle. So I address this in the book and talk about the fact that we've got to create boundaries and we've got to create routines that prevent us from emulating that anxious experience and kind of almost going back to the way that our grandparents used to live. You know, we've got to create that for ourselves because we are getting more anxious. You're right, and especially teenagers. I think that's one of the biggest concerns that parents are facing today is the anxiety amongst their children.
Well, that raises a good point. What advice do you have for parents with anxious teenagers?
Well, it's a very complex one. But one of the pieces of advice that I've given and people have found very helpful, you know, often parents with, you know, with children or teenagers who have got sort of behaviours that are deemed not normal. So they won't come out of their room or they've got sort of bizarre coping mechanisms. What I often say is if you as a parent can see that that's your child trying to cope, it's their coping mechanism, it's their solution to the problem. It's not the problem itself. So what I suggest to parents is try not to focus on eliminating or getting rid of their solution. You know, that's their coping mechanism for now. It might not look healthy, but that's what they're needing. Try instead to have a conversation about what's causing the original problem. So that has helped, I think, a lot of parents, and it means that you're not getting rid of the thing that is making the child feel safe. The other thing I talk about is creating those boundaries. We need to be bound. We need to have times of rest. So technology-free days or even hours, even minutes, you know, I think is really, really important. Having routine and a lot of children, a lot of people get really kind of stunned by that idea of routine. It sounds so boring, but we need it. We need to eliminate the number of decisions we're making. And I know a lot of the big thinkers, Bill Gates does this, Steve Jobs used to do it, Mark Zuckerberg, Barack Obama, they have morning routines. Mm-hmm. They have routines that mean they don't have to make so many decisions in the morning because the science shows that having to make lots of decisions, it exhausts the part of our brain that controls anxiety. And if we're constantly making decisions, we get anxious. And when we're anxious, and I'm sure many of your listeners can relate to this, when we're anxious, we find it very hard to make decisions. So routines for children, for all of us, can really help manage our anxiety so that we can use it productively to be creative, to do great things, to take risks that will make our lives more interesting and more full of character, if you know what I mean.
It's a very unique and interesting look at anxiety. First, We Make the Beast Beautiful by Sarah Wilson. Sarah, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. And by the way, do you have a website or a blog or somewhere where we can follow you online?
Yeah, I absolutely do. SarahWilson.com. That's where I explored a lot of these ideas about the book. And it then became a book via discussions I had sort of, you know, with my community. So, yes, I blog there and of course, the book's in all good bookstores at the moment now.
All right. Fantastic. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Bye now.